Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, do you do yoga? Are you a yogi? Are you a super yogi? What does that mean? We'd like to be super yogis. That would be really great. Well, actually, we can learn about super yogis because there are abilities that historically have been true in yoga that people can take on unusual abilities. And we have a guest who's written a book called The Super Yogi Scenario. And this is an adventure tale. It's action-packed. It's a novel about super yogis. It's wonderful. I loved reading it. And we're going to be speaking with our guest, the author, James Connor. James, welcome.
Peter, thank you for having me on the show.
Sure. I'm so glad to talk with you. I love this adventure because not only is it action-packed and full of suspense and drama and calamity even, it's an important understanding of how we can be better at being ourselves, becoming superhuman, super yogis. And you're an unusual guy yourself because you spent some years in retreat after having a life in New York in the advertising industry.
That's correct. I did own a business in New York for 14 years, and every day before I went to work, I would meditate. And it was really quite an advantage in business, because in the morning I would meditate on the people I was going to see throughout the day and my employees, and just think about what do they really need? How can I help them? And what I was finding was I was gaining such clarity at how to solve problems very quickly. And a thought occurred to me, well, how far could an ordinary Westerner go, and a New Yorker at that, if they were to devote themselves fully to the path of meditation? And so I had an opportunity to sell my business. I gave nearly all the money away to various charities, and I entered a three-year isolated meditation retreat where I had the opportunity to really see what you can do with meditation.
Those retreats are amazing because they're supported, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't have to run around trying to find food every day.
No, it was fantastic. I was in the Arizona High Desert Mountains, and every 2 weeks, caretakers would bring food to my drop box, and I would walk down my little mountain hill to the bottom of the drop box and get my food for the next 2 weeks and pack it up and carry it back up to the cabin.
And then meditate, except on Sundays, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It was 1,000 days of meditation. And so one of the things you realize is you need to give yourself one day a week just to relax. And so what I did on Sundays is I would only do a morning meditation session. I wouldn't be meditating most of the day. And in the afternoons, I wanted to do something fun. And so I wanted to try to communicate to people what kind of transformations of mind are possible to get people excited about meditating. And when you're meditating, you're mainly working on your own mental afflictions. It's a battle to try to work on all the weaknesses that you have and all the blind spots that you have. And the metaphor of superheroes fighting villains kept coming up in my mind. And so I came up with this metaphor of the super yogi scenario in which I could write about the ideas that I was playing with in meditation and kind of physicalize it in a contemporary world.
And it has been physicalized in the past. I know that Tibetan yogis have been known for all kinds of great feats.
Absolutely. You know, and it even goes back further than that. One of the texts that I studied for many years before I went into retreat, and then studied a lot more when I was in retreat, was the Yoga Sutra by Master Patanjali, which was written around 200 AD. Now, this is the root text for all the yoga lineages, and it's teaching the path of meditation as a path to enlightenment. And it's made of like four chapters, and you could roughly explain the Yoga Sutra as the first chapter is like why you need to meditate. The next chapter is practices that really support good meditation, including the physical asana poses that we know and love so well. And then you get to the third chapter, and the third chapter is called the Chapter on Mystic Powers. And it's all these really cool transformations of mind that happen that lead to supernatural abilities at the higher levels of meditation. And so I saw this in the text, and I thought, gosh, it would be really interesting to create a superhero universe based on authentic scriptural teachings, where the teachings explain how it is that people learn to read minds, how they learn to fly in the sky, how they learn to become invisible, and could have a lot of fun with that to explore really how do we all become more heroic in our own lives.
And yet there are glitches, because in your novel there are good super yogis and bad super yogis. So what is it that we can attain to become a super yogi and still miss the boat and not be beneficial to others?
Well, Peter, you're really putting your finger on what is the, you know, central theme of the book. The book explores what makes somebody a hero and what makes someone a villain. And so when we think about heroes, a hero is somebody who puts other people's needs before their own. A villain is somebody who pursues their own selfish interest, often at the expense of other people. And we have this tension in our lives. We all have incredible abilities. All our actions, our thoughts, our deeds have incredible ripples on the kind of world that we're creating. And this generation, the people alive on the planet today, they're pretty miraculous. And so the question is, are we using our powers for good, or are we using our powers for evil?
And it's so important to understand that we can do yoga and attain some great powers from it, of our integration into higher dimensionality that allows us to create super abilities, and yet something is missing still. And so this is compassion, right? And so we want to look at this and see this battle between the good guys and the bad guys, and understand where the glitches may be. And that's why I do believe that we need others. We need to be taught yoga. I think it's important to have people around us. I presume you had guidance in this journey you were on.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't recommend anyone go into long retreat without being very well trained.
Right. So you can develop the fullness of it and not be missing the parts that could lead to
Absolutely.
Trouble.
And I would also encourage people, you know, this world is so interesting right now. We have so many people interested in spiritual things. We've kind of evolved to a level where we realize that technology and our consumer culture isn't fulfilling our deeper needs for a meaningful life. So we begin to investigate and look at spiritual things. And I would say to people very strongly, I think it's really valuable to look at traditions that are strong, that have authentic lineages, where a master has taught a student, and the student has gotten realizations, and it's continued, and so on, and so on.
Right.
So I'm a big believer in doing everything from authentic sources.
Right, and to make sure it's balanced.
Super yogi scenario.
Right. The super yogi scenario is really a teaching, and it is.
I wanted to make it an experiential teaching. So all the in the yoga lineages. And it lets people experience the teachings in the context of people wrestling with these very real issues. How can I use my powers to help people as opposed to selfishly?
All right. Now, let's take it from the positive part here of developing powers with compassion, with service. How do we do that? I mean, it's great to know that you're somebody who will do good with it, but you got to have something to use for it. You're developing a greatness about yourself, which is separate from ego, which is the greatness of love, let's call it, the greatness of our compassion, to be bigger than ourselves, to live in a life that's bigger than what we see around us. So how do we do that? How do we erase that separateness?
Well, we know what makes people heroes. It's very simply getting yourself out of the way and taking care of others first. But what makes somebody really a superhero, or in this case, a super yogi? They're able to infuse their activity with wisdom. And the main wisdom is there is a relationship between our thoughts, our deeds, and our actions, and the world we create. It's just cause and effect.
But it's knowing that we're creating it is, I think, the greatest power.
Absolutely. And when you look at the Yoga Sutra does discuss, you know, these are what they call siddhis. These are the supernormal abilities that develop. But the Yoga Sutra is quite clear. But the greatest power is having wisdom about where reality comes from and having love in your heart for all beings.
And because
and that's
of that,
ultimately what I personally am interested in,
right,
and what I want to get the readers excited about.
Right. I mean, this is an opportunity to understand that once we see that we're the creators of reality at the atomic level, at the nuclear level, then we allow ourselves to merge with creation in a way that makes sense to us. And you talk about that in the book. It's really interesting that you talk about the purpose of meditation, that it's not just about breathing and emptying the mind. You talk about it as about that it's also logical analysis, that we have to make sense of our reality around us so we can live in peace. Otherwise, our mind will create all kinds of illogical results. So a peaceful mind can be logical and can analyze things more clearly and understand the richness of reality in a way that we are creating it. Does that make sense?
This is really important, what you're talking about. The Western world is just now getting excited about meditation, and I'm very excited about that. But when you look at what the purpose of the meditation is, if you look at it in a Mahayana Buddhist context, or you look at it in the Yoga Sutra tradition, there they use much more powerful meditation objects. And the main principle is if you use an ordinary object of meditation, you just get an ordinary result. If you use an extraordinary object of meditation, you get an extraordinary result. So there is a world of meditation beyond just using the breath or simple mindfulness. Thinking that meditation is only just using the breath or simple mindfulness is like taking bar stretching to be ballet. One of the things that I realized after having what for me is now 15 years of training with Buddhist lamas and lamas in the yoga lineage, it's important to start to teach the world these more powerful meditation techniques. And so in retreat, I decided to come at it from two directions. First, I would create a nonprofit, gobeyond.org, which teaches people the hardcore meditation techniques that you would learn in a Tibetan monastery 1,000 years ago. And then come at it from the pop culture route, you know, start to combine meditation with superheroes to get people excited about using the word that you said, analysis. supernatural abilities discussed in the Yoga Sutra, discussed in Buddhist texts, have one key. They do analysis to realize that they have no truly existing way of being, that if they put different causes in their mind, they can create different results. So that analysis and meditation, which is called a chegom in Tibetan, is a technique the Western world needs to discover in order to discover the source of real power.
And so let's talk about how you use this concept in your book. Because these are powerful people.
Sure.
We start off with a guy named Eric. And what happens?
Eric Adams is a former Navy SEAL, and he was wounded quite badly in Afghanistan. And so he's dealing with his injuries that at one point put him in a wheelchair. And he's dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, as so many soldiers are currently coming back from the wars. I come from two generations of military family. I know very well what post-traumatic stress looks like. And so I wanted to talk about, you know, the progression out of that. And so Eric is somebody who got into yoga and meditation to help him heal on a holistic level. And this is something that is happening in many of the VA hospitals around the country right now. But being a Navy SEAL with Navy SEAL kind of discipline, Eric wanted to go very far into meditation. And through analysis, he was able to see, look, my body hasn't always been one way. My mind hasn't always been one way. I could start to put different causes, which would make me see things differently. And Eric is unique because he has this insight, this self, this ego, is also just a label. The barrier that he keeps putting up between himself and others is a thought and a label, and he's able to break down this barrier and as a result of it gain the ability to start reading minds. And so he starts to acquire more powers. And this is a line along the lines of, in the Yoga Sutra, chapter 3, verse 19 says, with the necessary cause, one can read the minds of others. And the way that is done, it's by removing the separation between yourself and others.
And yet there are a lot of different super yogi strengths that different people in your book have. They're not all mind readers. So we're all here with different causes, different purposes that we are naturally creating for ourselves that make sense to us to develop powers that we
That's
need.
That's correct. Everybody comes into this world with unique inclinations, with unique abilities. Another character in the book is a woman named Ariel Davis, who grew up in a family of pilots. And she has a predilection for the sky, and she joins the Air Force, and on the side, she's a yogi. And in the course of the book, supernatural abilities are starting to emerge among the growing population of yoga practitioners. Some of them are becoming heroes. Some of them are becoming villains. Eric is charged with the task of trying to recruit and train a team in supernatural abilities in order to take down the bad yogis. And he realizes because of her unique seeds for flying, he can probably shape her wisdom enough that she can learn to fly without a machine. And so her story arc, I think, is one of the more compelling story arcs of the book.
Yes, it's wonderful to read. I love the growth of these people to develop their superpowers in a way that's natural for their personalities and their purpose.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the fun part of the book for readers, to see here's an authentic Yoga Sutra verse which explains how it is, what people have to meditate on in order to gain these specific abilities, and then watch it play out and watch them wrestle with it, and then watch them wrestle with, can I use this to help others?
And it's also fascinating that Eric helps manage the wrestling, because he is pointed towards the result in a way that he knows, he sees the wrestling going on, and he knows how to steer it.
You know, this is something that you'll see continuously when you look at the texts for the last 25 centuries. You know, I had so much time in retreat. When I was in retreat, I didn't have access to the internet. I didn't have access to any news from the outside world. I didn't have a cell phone. All I had was 25 centuries of ancient meditation texts to study and to work with. These powers will come through cause and effect, but focus on the things that will protect you from misusing these powers. And so you spend much more time in meditation, working on deepening your wisdom and deepening your love in your heart for every living being.
I love
that.
So
Eric understands the wrestling. And he's got an issues and past and difficult things he has to work out with within his own mind. And when he sees other people wrestling with these things, the interesting thing about his character is he doesn't see it as separate from him. He sees it as echoes of his own mind and issues he still has to work out too, which is also a great source of compassion.
So it's so beautiful. This book is enlightening in so many ways. And yet there's that part of us that is caught in the drama of it, of the good guy, bad guy scenario that actually threatens the planet. And so there is a need, you know, for superheroes to show up and save the day.
you can read this book on so many levels, and so many people are reading the book on so many levels, which I think is important and good. But when you look at our culture currently, our culture is quite obsessed with superheroes in the movies, in TV, in graphic novels. And I think it is an amazing sign. I think it's because we're becoming more and more connected to the struggles of everyone on this planet. And deep down inside, each of us wants to end suffering for others and wants to see good triumph over evil. And so we're having these archetypes come up in our culture. But if you look at the archetypes we're seeing, it appears right now that you have to be a billionaire with access to really cool tech, or from another planet, or somebody that was in some strange lab mishap. And that's not what our heart says. Our heart knows we can all be heroes. We can all be part of the solution. And that's why I think stories like the Super Yogi scenario represent the next evolution in the superhero story.
And my sense of how we can do this individually is understanding that we're creating, individually, we're creating all of it. We're each responsible for the world in a way that it's coming out of our mind of creation. And so we need to take responsibility, each one of us, to alter it from that place of creation. And so we can do that through the power of the oneness and the love that exists from that oneness, to expect more of ourselves and more of reality by pointing us in that direction as creators. How does that sound?
And this, Peter, is the challenge of our time. The challenge of our time is not to create, you know, bigger smartphones or smartphones that can fit on your wrist. It's to understand where reality comes from. Because when we do that and we understand our connection to how we're creating our world, then we find the source of real power. And that's what the Yoga Sutra is all about. It opens with this incredible line. It says, "Yogesh Chitta Virdi Naroda." We become whole by stopping how the mind turns. And what it means is we have made a mistake. We think the world is outside, separate from us, unrelated to our deeds. But when we turn it around and realize deeds create the multitude of worlds, then we have found the real source of power.
Right. And then we're responsible for our own deeds.
We're responsible for our own deeds, but our own deeds ripple into how we perceive and experience the world.
And create purpose for a better world.
Yes.
Right. So It's wonderful to be involved in this kind of discussion about a novel that's so enjoyable to read. You know, this is very heavy stuff we're talking about, but to bring it into the context of the way you were presenting it makes it so enjoyable and exciting and enlightening at the same time. How can people find out more about you, what you're doing, get the book? And the book, by the way, the book's name is The Super Yogi Scenario, and your name is James Connor. So let's take it from there, James.
Well, when I was writing this book, I was writing it in the middle of a 1,000-day retreat. And so it was this really interesting balance where I was writing from a very deep place, but I also wanted to have fun. It was my day off, and so I was having fun with it and thinking about the readers and wanting to turn it into kind of a page-turning thriller. What I'm excited to report is that the reviewers are seeing this as something unique. Forward Reviews just named it one of the indie books they love for 2015.
That's great.
Kirkus Reviews says that I may have invented a new subgenre. And the reviews have been very excited about it being this really page-turning thriller that's right. Getting across some heavy philosophical ideas.
So we're about to run out of time. Where can people find you?
They can get the book at all major booksellers. They can get it at Amazon.com. If you want to see if the book is right for you, you can download the first four chapters for free at byjamesconnor.com, which is byjamesconnor, C-O-N-N-O-R.com.
And you also had a Go Beyond website?
And if you want to get hardcore, authentic teachings on meditation, you can download free meditation modules at gobeyond.org.
James Connor, it's so joyful to talk with you, and very exciting.
It's great to talk to you, Peter.
Thank you so much. And this is Peter Roth, your host at Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HeartRiver.org, or 212-222-7748. I really appreciate you listening to our shows, and this is a special one that I'm very proud of. And thank you so much for being a listener at Energy Stew.